Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us, O God, to come to your presence, to come to your holy presence, O God, through your word. Lord, we ask, O God, that you bless this time together. We know, God, that there are some people here that are, some people from our church that are not here today. But we know, God, that you speak to each and every one of us in different ways. Lord, we pray, God, that you speak to them wherever they are, whatever they're going through, whatever their situation is, O God, we pray, God, to bless them, their situations, O God. Lord, even today as we read your word, Lord, may your word speak to us today. Lord, we know, God, that you have a living word for us today. Lord, may you speak that living word to us, O God, that it may bring life and understanding to the simple. Lord, we ask, O God, that you give me boldness as I speak your word. Lord, let the power of the Holy Spirit, O God, Lord, enlighten us and give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, we thank you for this great privilege that you have given us, O God, to listen to your word. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. So we have been studying the book called 1 Timothy. Welcome back to this. I know you have been going through some tough times, but I pray that God will continue to minister to you and your family. We have been praying for you, amen. And thank you for being here today. Well, we have been talking about 1 Timothy, which is very appropriate during this time, because it talks about how to be a Christian in this sinful world we are living in. You know, that's the most difficult thing to do right now, because there are so many things going on in the world that I would say is not true of Christianity, but people think Christianity is just one of those religions that are in the world today. But Christianity, being a Christian, is more than a religion. It is something that I can say would really change your life. Not only change your life, but change your attitude towards life if you understand the message of what the Word of God is saying. And one of those messages is how to act in the household of God. Or how do you act in times of worship? Or especially during this time when we lost a brother who was a leader, who was a member of this church. So how do we respond when someone or something like that happens? So today we're going to talk about leaders in the household of God. Last time we talked about men and women's conduct in worship. We talked about women's conduct when it comes to submission to authority, submission to men and women in authority. And then we also talked about how men are to pray without wrath or doubting. So that's what we talked about last time. And today we're going to talk about a very important topic, not only in the church, but also in the world today. I guess you heard about many leaders, not only in the church, in other churches, but also in our government. who was involved in some kind of trouble because of something we have done or something they did not do. And today we're going to talk about the leaders. What are God's qualifications for leaders? In other words, what does God require for leaders? When you talk about leaders, you talk about someone whom God has called to become a leader in the church. You could be a pastor or an elder or a deacon or whatever position you may have in the church. And I cannot think of any greater privilege than being a leader, being called a leader in the body of Christ. There is no greater privilege than being called a leader in the body of Christ. And I cannot think of any greater responsibility other than leading or becoming a leader in the church of God. That's why God, in His Word, has laid up such challenging requirements for Christian leadership. I can say that the standards of the Word of God are high, not only for the sake of the church, but also for the sake of its members and leaders. Our text today in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 16, are called the qualifications for church leadership. And you may be thinking, why is this important? If you are not a leader or some kind of a leadership position, why is this important to you or to me? It is important to all of us because one way or another, this is a requirement for all Christians. Amen? It is a requirement for all men and women who may not be a leader in the church, but they are leaders in their communities, leaders in their homes, leaders in government, or leaders wherever we are called by God. We have some kind of a leadership responsibility. And as Christians, God has called each and every one of us to be an example to the world. Amen? And so this passage of Scripture, I believe, speaks to all of us. This is the requirement of God for each and every one of us. So today, as we talk about these requirements or these qualifications of God for leaders, we are talking about God's requirements for each and every one of us. And the summary of the qualifications mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3 can be summarized in 4 words. So my message indeed today will not be long. So 4 words. Okay, 4 words. Number one. Actually, it's right here. Number one is calling. The second word is character. The third word is competence. And the fourth word is commitment. So I can call these the 4 C's of leadership. What are those 4 C's of leadership? Number one is calling. Number two is character. Number 3 is competence. Number 4 is commitment. How important are these elements of leadership? You know, as we can see, the first 3 elements, calling, character, and competence, are described in the life of King David. If you remember King David is called a man after God's own heart. You know, he's not a perfect man, but he was a man after God's own heart. Meaning he was obedient to God. Although he failed, he was like one of us, weak and sinner, but he was a man after God's own heart. So what made the difference in the life of David? Let me read from Psalm 78 before we go further. Psalm 78, verse 70 to 72. Let me read from the text. It said, "He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them." So we can see the three first elements of a leader in the life of David. The first element we can see from verse 70 to 71, he said, God chose David to be his servant, meaning he was called by God to be a servant. And then in verse 72, the first part of verse 72, he said, David shepherded them, meaning the people of Israel, with integrity of heart. Meaning he was a man of character. And then in the second part of verse 72 describes David's competency. He said, with skillful hands, he led them. So we can see in the life of David, in the life of men and women of God, these three characters, or three characteristics. First is calling, number two is character, and number three is competency. Or competence. But there is one lacking in the life of many leaders, not only in the church, but also in the government and the world today. And that is what we're going to talk about today, although we're going to talk about verse 3 also. But our focus today is on the core character or characteristics, which is commitment. Because this is what is lacking today in many people in the world, or many Christians for that matter. What is commitment? Commitment is talking about your commitment to the Lord as your Lord and Savior. You know, we were talking, I was talking to the Sunday school students there. You know, a lot of these Sunday school students are, I would say, a long time Christians. But many of them are still struggling with spending time with God in prayer and the Word. And I'm sure the whole congregation can tell me that all of you, or most of you, majority of you, are still struggling with your time in prayer. Because of so many distractions, of so many things going on in your life, you don't spend time with God in prayer. How many of you can raise your hand and say, I'm guilty of that? Don't raise your hand. And the reason for that is because there are so many things going on in our life. And sometimes the real problem of every leader, of every Christian in the world today is commitment. They may know they have a calling in their life. They may be competent. I mean, they have education. They have abilities. But they have a problem with availability, with their commitment to the Lord. So all these core characteristics or core elements must be present in the life of a leader in order for him to succeed. As you can see in our world today, there are so many leaders that have failed. Not only as a leader in the church, but as a leader in our community. So let's talk about the four elements of a leader. And how these elements are important in the life of each and every one of us as we become an example to the world and life that we're living in the world. Let's talk about calling. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to become an elder or to become an overseer or to become a pastor, he desires a noble task." So when you look at the word and see the word overseer, elder, pastor, it's talking about one person. So whoever aspires to be a leader, the Bible says he desires a noble task. To be in a position of leadership is a noble task. It's a privilege that only God can give to a person. When God calls you to be a leader in the church, it is a privilege. It is an honor. It is something that God bestows not to everyone, but to a few people in the church. But if God called you to be a leader, it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a noble task God has given to us. But if there's anything that we need in order to do what God wants us to do, is we must have a sense of conviction. Meaning you know and you know and you know in your heart that God called you. And if you're going to do something else other than what God calls you to do, you know that you are disobeying God. How many of you knows that there's something that God wants you to do? But at least at this time, at least at this time, at this point of time, you're still not doing it. For some reasons, maybe because of fear, or maybe because of some reason. But if you want to serve God, you must have a sense of conviction. Because having a sense of conviction is different when you view your role with a sense of conviction rather than seeing yourself merely as doing it for the sake of doing it. You know, people who sense that God has called them to their respective roles offer much more than their minimal job requirements. You know, when someone knows for sure in his heart that God called him, he will pour out his heart to the ministry. Meaning he will give everything in his power, in his strength, to do something for God. And that is what we need today. We need people today who have a sense of conviction, to know that they have been called by God to do something, and they will do it because God wants them to do it. And they will pour out their hearts and their minds and everything they have for the cause of Christ. You know, John Wesley once said, "Give me 10 men that hate nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and we will change the world." What he's saying is, if there is a few group of people in the church who have such commitment, such conviction in their hearts to do what God wants them to do, they will change the world. Amen? They will change the world. So we need people who knows, who knew that they have been called by God. And that is the first requirement to become a leader. They know they are called by God. The second element of someone who has been called by God is character. You know, some people highlight competency over character. But as far as the Bible is concerned, character is more important than competency. You know, some people, when they look for a leader, they look for a leader who is competent. Of course, that's important. But as far as the Bible is concerned, the Bible gives more importance to character than competency. As we can see in the scripture in verse 2, it says in verse 2, a bishop or an overseer or an elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. In another version, it says, an elder or a bishop must be above reproach. What do you mean by above reproach? To be above reproach means that if an accusation comes against him, it will not stick, because he is not characterized by what he is being accused of. Meaning, whatever the world tells or says about him will not stick, because he is above reproach. It's not saying he is perfect, because no one is perfect. But there is no accusation that will stick against him, because they will not stand, because he is not characterized by what he is being accused of. And the scripture gives us at least three areas where an elder or a leader must be above reproach. Number one, he must be above reproach in his character. As I said, the pastor is not expected to be perfect, but he must be a man who pursues holiness and characterized by fighting sin. The scripture says he's sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, not a drunkard, but not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. So he must be above reproach in his heart. Not only that, he must also be above reproach in his family life. The pastor must be a man who has first displayed maturity in shepherding his own household well. He must be faithful to his wife, not neglecting her, but loving her and caring for her. He must be faithful in his parenting, disciplining his children. The Bible says, if someone cannot manage his own house well, how can he manage the household of God? Meaning, he is above reproach in his family. As I said, he's not perfect, but he displays maturity in dealing with his own family, with his own household. Not only is he above reproach in his character and family life, he is above reproach in his public life. Meaning, he must be well thought of by the outsiders. Meaning, he has a good reputation from the outside world. So character is important. So is calling. Calling is important. Character is important. And then number three, competence. As I said, while the scripture emphasizes character over competency, the pastor or the elder or the leader must be a man who is able to teach. Meaning, he must be able not only to teach God's word, but he must also be able to rebuke those who oppose the word of God with patience and kindness, so that those who oppose the gospel may be led to repentance. Meaning, this man or leader must be a man of biblical conviction. He is above reproach as far as his doctrine is concerned. He must be mature and maturing, meaning he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as he was taught, so that he is able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict the word of God. So we need the three elements. We need character, we need calling, we need competency. But as I said earlier, this is not sufficient. This is not enough to be a successful leader. Or in your case, in my case, in everyone's case, it's not enough to be a good model to the world if we don't have commitment. So the fourth element is commitment. Commitment to whom? Commitment to the Lord as your Lord and Savior, and commitment to the church or the community where he is part of. And let me read again verse 14 to verse 16 to give you the reason why we need this commitment. Verse 14, it says, although I hope to come to you, talking to the church in Ephesus, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, so this is the reason why he was writing the letter to Ephesus, that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. Talking about Jesus. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. What commitment am I talking about here? I'm talking about commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you are a true Christian, a true believer in Christ, there's one thing in your life that is common to all believers. It is a passion to know him in his fullness. When you have that heart and you have that passion to know him and to know him fully, you have a fire inside of you to know and obey the crucified and the risen one. There you are, committed to the one who died for you. That's why our theme for this year is honor the Lord who died for you. Share the hope that is in you. Because if you honor the Lord in everything you do, if you make him the Lord and Savior, the central person of your life, you will honor him in everything you do. You will serve him every time you have an opportunity. That is what it means to be committed to the Lord. It's not just going to church, listening to the message, giving your tithes, giving your offering. The most important thing is your heart committed to the Lord. In other words, do you have a right relationship with God? You may have a calling in your life. You may have developed a character that God has worked in your life. You may be a competent leader. But if you don't have a commitment to God and the church that God has placed you, I don't think you will succeed in what God wants you to do. Now, if we put the four elements in order, which one should come first? Of these four, which produces which? I believe the first element, Because a leader must know God and Jesus must come first. True leadership is not possible without Christ first in the heart of the leader. Even if you are the best leader that you can ever be, without Jesus Christ in your life, without Him being the first in your life, you will not succeed. Without Christ first in the life of a leader, you will never get along with the community of believers. Without Christ first in the life of a leader, his character will be sinful. Biblically, a Christian leader is not character-based, it is Christ-based. While character is vitally important in the life of a leader, it is not the first. Christ is the first. You know, in Christian leadership, everything does not proceed from character and values. Everything proceeds from your union with Christ. I'm not saying character and values are not important. Actually, true character and values proceeds not from our human effort, but from your relationship with God. The reason why we are what we are, we do what we do, we have what we have, is because of Jesus. Amen. The reason why I am here in your presence today is because of Jesus, not because I can preach or because I can speak or I can do all these things. The reason for that is because Jesus Christ is first. Remember, Jesus will not accept second place in anyone's life. And sometimes Jesus is just one of those things, person that we, you know, put importance in our life. But he is not first. You know, we should not pray for power without first praying to know Christ. We should not use the Word of God for teaching without first using the Word of God to know Him. Ministry must not be first. In all things, Christ might have the preeminence. You may have competence, you may have knowledge, you may have ability, but apart from Christ, you are nothing. The leader is only capable of doing something in key, his value comes from Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 6, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God, and He has given us competence as the messengers of the new covenant. So what is the message? The message here is Christ must be. If we want to be the leader that God wants us to be, it is not just the best way, it is the only way to be a true Christian leader. Everything else is merely fleshly works. Remember, Christ is the source of character, calling, and competency. He is the true center and circumference of all things. He is the King of Kings, the Lord. The reason why we are what we are, we do what we do, and we have what we have is because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So if you want to be a servant in the kingdom of God, if you want to be a leader in the kingdom of God, Jesus must be first. If you want to be used by God anywhere you are, whether in your office, in your work, in wherever God has put, Jesus Christ must be first. Even in your business. If you have business, you want Jesus to be number one in your life, give you first place. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. So that's the message that we have for us today. My friends, my brothers and sisters, let's put Jesus Christ first in our life and in our ministry, in our family, in everything. And the Bible says that all these things will be added to you as well. guilt about what will happen to us. What if this happens to us? Or what will happen to me if I don't have this and I don't have that? You know what Jesus said? If you seek me first and the kingdom of God, all these things that you worry about, that you think about, will be added to you as well. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us once again of the importance of putting Jesus first in our lives. Lord, forgive us, for we have failed many times to give you first place. Sometimes, oh God, our family is first place. Sometimes our job is first place. Sometimes even our own pleasure, our own time with computers, with Facebook, and all those things are sometimes first place. But you must be first place.